You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Hebrews and chapter 2. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you with thanksgiving. Thank you, your word, your grace, your presence, God, in quietness and confidence, God is our strength. God, thank you. In Christ's name, help us. Thank you. Amen. Now, in our little exercise of looking at Hebrews, and remember, Hebrews is God's way of saying that he's God. He says he's God in the person of Jesus Christ. And then he reaffirms that he said it. Where did he say it? In his Son. Now, he said it in all Moses and the prophets, no question. But in particular, it is God saying something, and God saying it in his Son, in himself. It's God saying it. Now, to get that a little better, just go back for a second into history. At Mount Sinai, Deuteronomy 5 and all of that. And they're at Mount Sinai. And God speaks, and we've done it many times. And God speaks. And they're listening to God straightway. Straightway. Like nobody else. Like nothing else. God speaking. Now, having said that, and they drew back. They were afraid. And they wanted it, they didn't want to hear it anymore because it was God speaking. Now, so but they would yield, since you can't override God, and since you can't get rid of God, then you're going to have to handle God somehow because he isn't going away. So therefore, what are we going to do? Well, we'll listen to Moses. But we don't really want to listen to Moses, do we? No, but we better hear Moses instead of God. And so Moses is a step down in listening. We don't want to listen to the next down where the voice is God speaking through Moses. We don't want to do that too much. But we could go a step further, and we'll listen to Aaron. We can never use Moses, but each time we go down away from God, which, hang on, this will help you in the morning, because I'm trying to hit a target here. People don't want to hear it anyway, but anyway, got to hear it. Going down, and so we go down to Aaron. Would they have ever asked Aaron to make a golden calf? Excuse me, would they ever have asked Moses to make a golden calf? Can't you just see him going up to Moses and make us a god like Egypt? Never happened. Never, never happened. But you could do that with Aaron because you're going down the list. And now we'll go to the next level, which is just us general humans. And we like being with each other, talking to each other, arguing with each other, debating with each other, complaining, doing all the things we like it because we're humans. And we like this, to discuss everything. That's what we like to do. That's what we like to do. But we wouldn't do that with God. We wouldn't do that with God. So we're always a level. You pick it up in the morning, I hope. But in God, so God, what are you saying in Hebrews? God said, listen, I have spoken through the prophets, rising up early, etc., etc. They didn't want to listen. I have spoken through my Son. And in speaking through my son, what are you going to do with him? To pick that up, if you can, just a little bit before we go, Matthew chapter 21. And you'll see the negative side of this. And in Matthew chapter 21, you would remember the illustration God uses. I'll pick up a little bit of it in verse 21, 35. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again, he sent other servants, more than the first. And they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. I sent Isaiah, Jeremiah, I sent them. John the Baptist, I sent them. They'll certainly honor my son. Verse 38. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. Now, so the further we can go down, we'll talk about God, the Bible, and all kinds of things. But we don't want to do it on this level up here. We want to do it on our level down here. That's why we can have the great discussions, because we're down here. We'd never have them with God. There's no way on earth you would that we would talk to God like that. You'd have to be way out in Thule land. Now, saying that, so there's the negative. Hebrews is the positive. God said, listen, I sent my son. My son has given you John, the Gospel of John, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. The book of Hebrews, back over to Hebrews chapter 2. And in Hebrews chapter 2, picking up, please. Now, we're going to leave the subject of angels in chapter 1, verse 14. And we're going to pick that up again in chapter 2, verse 5. But right in between 1:14 and 2:5 are four verses. And that's the first warning. The first warning in the light of the soberness that you don't want to listen to God, you want to get down to this level, and that level goes nowhere at all. Now, so therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, what's the word? Therefore, in the light of what? Look at the end of verse 3. Remember the first section. The end of verse 3, chapter 1. And when he had himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God is finished. Christ died on the cross. He finished the work, his saving grace. When you come down to the second section, verse 13, the end, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So what God is seated, finished, the Lord Jesus Christ crucified and risen. Therefore, he isn't coming to say something. He has said it. He has done it. He's gone to the cross. It's finished. Now pay attention, because either you don't add and don't subtract to the scripture. Don't touch it. I'm finished, he said. Now hear me. Therefore, chapter 2, verse 1. Watch the move. Therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip from us. So now, and you'll notice among a number of things, just if you're interested in such, to help you, you'll notice in the verse, the second word is the word we. And you'll find it three times. And when you go to verse 3, you'll find it two times. In five, in those verses, it says we, the writer is part of the of it. He isn't excluded. The writer God is using is part of we need to be saved. We need to grow. We, it's all about we. And there's an us in there. There's an us in there too in verse 3. So therefore, it's very personal. So you can't just say, well, I'm going to read the scriptures as if they're out here. Because if you're saved, what happened when you got saved? Here's the Bible out here, and you're over here. When you got saved, God moved you into this thing. Do you understand? You aren't distant anymore. That's assuming you're saved. You're here. So all of a sudden, over here, we don't care what anyone says. But when I get saved, if I'm really saved, boom, hear ye my son. If judgment begins at the house of God, can you imagine what it's going to be for the unsaved? We don't pay it. Well, why can we do this? Because why can we be so casual and way us humans are? It's because we aren't Moses, Aaron, the people, the Egyptians. Well, we don't have to. The Bible isn't. Who knows? That's why the book of Hebrews, it's a warning. Take heed. God didn't do all of this for nothing. And when he himself, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, went to the cross, he didn't go to the cross for the fun of it. We don't even understand it in half a sense, in half a thought. But it cost him his son. It cost himself to shed his own blood by way of his perfect humanity. So all of a sudden, it's awesome, sober. But who cares, right? We're at the end of the age. We don't care. Oh, I think, not you guys, of course. Now, so therefore, back to therefore. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. A warning, and God exercises us that we ought to give the more earnest heed, paying attention, lest at any time it should slip from us. So here we are looking to God, and we don't want it to slip away. We are obligated to slip to earnest heed. We don't want it to slip away from us. To the word slip has to do with the binding, being bound with a chain. Not bound, excuse me, I'm ahead of myself. The word slip has to do with flowing, like a flowing river. It's moving. Just think of the river. You're standing by the river. And here comes all the things down that you could get, and you could reach in and get them. They're coming down the river. And whatever you need, it comes down, you can reach in and get it. Coming down like this. And if you don't reach out, it goes right by you. It's slipping, it's flowing, it's a flowing. All these things happen to us. And in verse 1, which we have heard, lest at any time they flow right by us. And what you could have reached out and got, you didn't do it, and it's all gone. All that you could have had yesterday is gone. True. What you could have learned a year ago is gone. It's all gone. Whatever reason, it's all gone. You can't get it back again, ever. You can recover, but you can't get it back. Now, so, what's the warning? If you don't pay attention, that God has finally said, don't add and not subtract to my word. I've said what I said. I'm doing what I'm doing. Therefore, I don't want you to let it slip away and flow right by you. That's the warning. For the word, verse 2, for the word spoken by the angels, was steadfast. And in the process, locked in. And every transgression, every time that was overstepped, all the transgression, every transgression, and every disobedience, not hearing, not being disobedient, not being obedient, every transgression and overstepping the law and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Everything, all of it receives. There's nothing. Everything God does and says, everything has its pluses, minus, it's good and bad. And it reaps it. You get what you sow. You reap what you sow. If you sow indifference, you get indifference. If you sow self, you get self. If you sow being saved, you enjoy being saved. Whatever you're sowing, tomatoes, carrots, whatever it is. And therefore, as we're looking to God, whatever you're doing, and everything pays, everything has its consequences. It's the way it is. Obviously, if you do something wrong, the other day I went, and in the process during the night I had to get something, and I went down to do something in the dark, and I got up, and here's the handle on the bureau, and I went right into it. Went right into the handle. You know, what's the handle doing there? See, I did that. Now, and I could have said, God, you just don't let anything happen. Just make believe the handle isn't there. No, he didn't. He said, the handle's there, and your head isn't as hard as that handle. So I want you to know the handle wins and you lose. And that's what happens. Now, did God let that happen? Absolutely. Could he change that? No, I did it. If I fall down and do something, or I fall and my pen falls out of my pocket or something, I fell down because it's called gravity. And I get down, that's what it does. Is God going to override gravity? No, he doesn't need to. You violated gravity, so you can't fix that. You understand? There's things that just has to be. If you do a stupid thing, you reap a stupid, reap stuff what's stupid. That's what you do. There's nothing wrong with it. If you say stupid things, you have stupid things you got to live with. That's what you got to do. And they don't go away. So I need to understand that. So that God, here we are looking, and everything has a consequence. Therefore, verse 3, how shall we escape? And by the way, when you come to verse 2 through verse 4, 2, 3, 4, it's all one sentence. It's not different sentences. It's all one long sentence. In your King James, you see the period at the end. In the Greek, it's all one sentence. So it's one movement of thought. So therefore, in the light of that, in the reason, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How are we going to escape? How are we going to exit? How are we going to overcome? How are we going to get away? How are we going to overcome and neglect and walk away from it? How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation spoken by our Lord? If we do that, how can we do it? We can't. How do you escape? How do you escape God? Now, hang on to that just for a thought. and go over to John chapter 12 for a minute. And in John chapter 12, may I pick up, please, in verse 30, catching a little bit of the context. Jesus answered and said, "The voice came not because of me," but in other words, our Lord's talking to the Father, and they hear it. They hear it. They don't understand it, but they hear it. And so in the process, all of that, so that they know God has something to say, and God is here to say it. So therefore, verse 31, now, what did they hear? Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of the world, of this world, be called cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Why so? This he said, signifying what death he should die. Christ is going to die for the sin of the world. So when lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So when Christ dies on the cross, he dies for everyone from Cain and Abel and everyone else. So everyone is accountable to God. Therefore, he in John chapter 12, it's a when the cross is a summons from the high court of heaven. The cross summons you, and everyone must give an account, saved and unsaved, to God. He died for all. All of them must give an account. They are all summoned to court for judgment. Do you understand? And when we get saved, God saves us from that. We are not condemned. God saves us. We're all summoned to court. Sober, awesome, wonderful. Why? Because you want to have something in the erratic up and downs of this life and all that's happening. Is there anything set, stable, sure, that works? That's God. And it's set. Now, back over if you would. And on your way, well, I think of it, so do it. Over to Psalm 78 for a moment. Remember now, angels are busy. I suppose I should do that in Hebrews first, but do it secondly. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And picking up, please. And you will notice in Psalm 68, picking up, please, in verse 17, you'll catch it. The witnesses are there. The angels are involved in everything. So the angels make sure that everything, they're there serving God and outworking his will. And in the process, when it says, many different places, Psalm 68, 17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. God was there. And God on Mount Sinai, and all the fire, and all the angels there, witnesses. All serving God's wonderful will. Now, keeping that in mind, and go over, if you can, to Acts chapter 7. And in Acts chapter 7, picking up, if I can, you'll see it again. I'm just doing it because it's a question people ask or wonder about sometime. What about the angels? Were the angels at Mount Sinai giving the law? Acts chapter 7, again, picking up in verse 53. Here's James 53, who received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. That's the law. So the angels are mentioned. One other place that will help, Galatians 3. And in Galatians 3, remember, and making a little bit of it, verse 18, 3 and 18. It's about God's promise of grace and not the law. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. He didn't get it by law. He got it. He didn't have to do anything. It was a promise. God made a promise to Abraham. Therefore, then serve the law. What's the purpose of the law? It was added because they didn't believe. If they believed, they would have never had the Ten Commandments. They would have never had them. Didn't need them. But they didn't. They want to believe. So the law. Wherefore, then serveth the law. It was added because of the transgressions. Remember what you read in Hebrews chapter 2. Transgressions and disobedience. Verse 19. It was added because of transgressions till the seed, that's singular, the Lord Jesus. The seed, think of Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. Till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained, put in order, the word ordained, put something in order, by angels in the hand of a mediator. And since there is no debate between, there isn't an argument between God and the people, therefore you read verse 20, now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Mediator means I'm going to come between the two companies and mediate the problem. There is no problem. God doesn't have a problem. Israel does. So if there's a mediator, the angels are there to do what? To help Israel understand. It isn't something God has to fix. It's something they have to fix. They have to fix it. Therefore, but the point in verse 19, it was ordained by angels, etc. So angels are busy doing all kinds of things. And so back over to Hebrews. And you'll notice in verse 3, how shall we escape if We neglect, we put aside, we become indifferent. If we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us, God said, I'm the only Savior, I am that I am, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And they heard him. And God said, these are witnesses. Now, we already got the negative witness when we read in Matthew 21, they will not receive the Son. That's negative. That's an official rejection of the Jews, anti-Semitism, official. So the world doesn't have to say, did you reject? You reject the Jews. You reject the God of the Jews. No question. By way of the Jews, you neglect it. Now, having said that, keeping that negative. Now, there's the positive side of the coin. All of these witnesses. So if you went to Acts and chapter 1, and in chapter 1, you remember his ascension after his resurrection, 40 days and 40 nights. And you recall Acts chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 10, in the light of that. So, verse 10, And while they looked steadfastly, this is all the people there, believers that were there at Mount of Olives, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So having said that, you say, well, that's they saw something. Well, who's the they? Who's the they? Because no one else saw it. And 40 days and 40 nights, he showed himself to his disciples. He didn't show himself to Pharaoh or to Herod or anyone else. No, he didn't. Just to his disciples. That's all. He's encouraging the people that can be encouraged. And he's there. Having done that. Now, God, here's this final thing. And you go be witnesses. Remember, and you remember the whole point in Acts chapter 1, where you're looking at it. When Judas is removed, he's the 12th man, and you've got to add a 12th man. What did you need to add? What qualifies the 12th man to be one of the 12 apostles? And picking up in Acts chapter 1, verse 20, as it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. For his bishopric let another take. In other words, Judas is out, someone else is to be in. Who is to take his place? And what is the qualification? Verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. It had to be somebody that saw his resurrection. That's what it had to be. That's the witness. You have to be an official witness. Did you see? Were you there? Who was there? How many were there? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Chapter 15, I should say. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter. Okay, I'm going to go to chapter 15. Remember the word gospel. Christ died according to the scriptures, buried and rose again according to the scriptures, verse 4. Verse 5, 15:5. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep and have died. So how many people were there watching him go up? Over 500 people. Now, wouldn't you say, over 500 people that witnessed something, wouldn't you say they must have seen something? Wouldn't you say that? We aren't talking about two witnesses. We aren't talking about two or three witnesses. We're talking about 500, over 500 people. Saw him go up. Wow. In the light, how shall we escape in the light of such witnesses of who he is and what he has done? Back over to Hebrews. And if I can, in God's so wonderful grace, kindness, picking up, please, if I can, in chapter 3, the end, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. So they all confirm it. And everyone, the whole Bible, including New Testament, is confirming that God is what is. So, and how does he confirm it, right? How does God confirm the Bible? Okay. What, you don't have to turn there, you know it. 1 John 5 and 39, they were busy trying to find things in the Bible, and God said, you search the scriptures for life, but you cannot find them. When you search the scriptures, John 5:39, they're all about me. So you can't read anything in the Bible that isn't going to be and point you to God. So when you come to the New Testament, Luke 24, 27, 44, 45, all of the scriptures from Genesis, Psalms, prophets, Moses, they all speak of me. So you can't read the Bible without me. You can't do it. And when you read the Bible, like Mahatma Gandhi did, I'm going to take it back to, you know all those things, take it back to India, because he knew that India needed something. And he tried to take the Bible back to India and to help them. But you can't take the Bible without the God of the Bible. It won't work. It just won't work. And it didn't. It didn't work. It didn't work. Can't do it. So God, here we are looking, and God goes in this most wonderful way and confirms everything. And therefore, we, and you'll see it. It may go verse 3 again. Let me pick it up, a point. So how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed, no question, settled unto us by them that, and what's the next word? Heard. The writer of the Hebrews, was not one of them. That's why Paul, if you're going to pick somebody to have a writer, Paul wasn't a witness of the resurrection. And the writer of Hebrews says, I did not witness the resurrection. I did not do it. On the Damascus Road, of course, he got saved, Paul did, Acts 9. But I did not witness it. I did not witness it. All the stuff's everywhere. Your answers are there all the time, about everything. But you got to find them instead of sitting there and people, not you guys, but people all over the place. Now, so having said that, and so verse 4, God also bearing them witness by both signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And God did all kinds of things to show he was God. So that's why they could do. You want to know? Over to Matthew chapter 10, hold your finger. All kinds of ways God did it. With thanksgiving, God did it. Matthew chapter 10. And you'd recall, God's going to send them. He sends them all the different things they did. You want to know how could they do what they do? We can't do it. When we come to Mark 16, it stops. We can't do it. We can't go and do a lot of those things. Well, that doesn't mean God can't do them. It just means we aren't walking around touching people, healing them. That's a very special thing. And it's only special when you need it. God's only special when you need it. You don't need power to jump over the moon to go get your breakfast. You just don't need it. And God doesn't do if you don't need. If you don't need it, you don't need it. So therefore, think with Peter with his shoes in jail. You know all those things. The simple things. In jail. And the angel comes in, tells the guards and the people in charge, go sleep. And they sit down. And he opens the door. Opened the door. And there's Peter. And Peter's in chains. And he takes the chains off. Got it all free, Peter. And Peter says, oh, by the way, I need my shoes on. And the angel said, put your own shoes on. You can't open the door. You can't put the guards out of the way. But you can put your shoes on. Do what you can. And trust me. Now, having said that, here's Matthew chapter 10 again. And in the process, verse 5, These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and unto the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the point that God, you're gonna confirm something by. We're just ordinary fishermen, tax collectors. We're nobodies. How can nobodies be somebodies? Because God is going to help them be, have the witness. In verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse. In other words, don't try to carry supplies to get you through things, nor script for your journey. In other words, you don't have to have an extra change of socks. You just go. I'll take care of everything else, like in the wilderness for 40 years. Neither two coats, neither those shoes, nor yet staves, stick, staff. For the workman is worthy of his meat, etc. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who is in it worthily, and there abide still, go to go ye hence. In other words, go to the house that is open to you, that they believe. The other houses go right by them. Now, what will they do? Where did they get all this? God did it. He did it. And if you lived in that day for 3 1/3 years, what would you know? Well, boy, wherever these guys go, the Lord plus the 11 and the rest of them, more than that sometime, they could do all kinds of things. No, they're just nobodies, but they could do them. Wouldn't you be impressed with the group? If the group was coming to town, wouldn't you be impressed? Boy, these guys are something else. That's what I talk about. Boy, these guys can, who knows, if you got a tumor, go see them. They could probably heal you. Wow. Over now, back over to Hebrews. Okay, God also bearing them witness. Verse 4. Signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now God did that in his most wonderful, wonderful way. He did that to make all of that work and come out so that God is going to go and make it so that in all of this, God is going to show his wonderful work and will. So that there's no question. God, did you confirm in those days for 3 1/3 years, did you confirm, without any question, that you were who you were? Did you confirm it by your simple disciples that weren't even saved in the sense of Acts chapter 2? But did you do it with them? You did. And you did it afterwards even. Paul and them could touch, you know, something and heal them. All of those wonderful things. Wow. God could do all of those wonderful things. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, therefore, in verse 5, for now we're back to angels. In other words, the warning is given. The warning is a clear warning, not to violate, not to be indifferent. God is trying to say something in the book of Hebrews, and God is writing it so that we can read it, so that we can understand it, so that we can have the benefit. Otherwise, we know nothing. We know nothing. We have no sense of the seriousness of God and the soberness that we need to have. We don't have that. Not that people don't have it. Obviously, don't have it. So we need to have that. So now we're back to angels, though. Back to angels discussion. In verse 5, so after the warning, and there's several warnings, remember, God keeps warning. Why? Because the danger is not to grow and not to know. That's the danger. Because we're stuck. We're locked in. Our humanity, our way of life. That's how we are. Verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, of which we speak. The world to come, they aren't in charge of the future. The reason for not the ministering, the angels are not going to go and do this. They are not heirs of salvation. They're as we are. They don't have salvation. They don't have it. They're either good guys, and they've been good guys, or they're bad guys, good guys that have become bad guys. So therefore, now, so here's the appeal. It turns into, now Christ the Son, the last Adam, he rules and reigns, and in the process of that, Christ is the seed of the woman, etc., and he's greater. So hath he not put in subjection all of the world? So all of the world is in subjection, there was subjection the world to come. In other words, all of the future is in whose hands? God's hands. You say, well, that's nice. What about tomorrow? What about your future tomorrow? You haven't got there yet, but what about tomorrow? I know this, and no, you don't. You know, but you don't know. If you remember James, if you think you know, you don't know. Wow. Think about 20 minutes from now. Here's your heart, everything's going. The future. Who has the future? God does. You and I don't. We have a moment. Here we are, calendar and clock, calendar and clock, calendar and clock, calendar and clock. But we aren't out here. We're just calendar and clock. It's true, we're going to be out here. But that's all we are. That's all we are. So therefore, in the light of that, in the light of verse 5 and that, the whole world is subject, to everything is subject to God. Now, the devil's subject to God, evil's subject to God, good's subject to God. What's going on in Washington and the world and Russia and all the rest of it is subject to God. The devil can't go and do. He does what he does. It's his system. There's no question. But he can only do what he does. So therefore, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. It's going to be a contrast now, a contrast between verse 5, the angels can't do anything. The angels can't. But, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, can do everything. Angels aren't in charge. God is. Verse 6. He's in charge. Therefore, in a certain place, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Now, God created angels. As you know, we did all of these things many times. And the angels are created, and God, in the process of all of the creation, has us in mind, us humans, made in the image and likeness of God. And us humans made in the image and likeness of God come along. And in the process, here we are on planet Earth, just little old us. Now, God, are you going to become an angel? No. No. What are you going to do? What is your plan in your glory, in your creation? I am the Son of God, the Son of Man. I'm going to become a man. But there are no men. I'm going to make them. Humans in my image and likeness. And that man, the man Christ Jesus, is the centerpiece. Because he's going to go and show God's marvelous mercy and love and grace and righteousness and judgment and all of 1,000 words. He's going to show that. How are you going to show it? God, you're going to give expression to your awesome person in the person of Jesus Christ, who becomes a lowly man. And you can't become lower You can't become lower. Elephants and deer and chickadees can all be born. But no one is born weaker or lower than a human being. They're utterly helpless. Other things can survive, but a little baby can't do it. God took the lowest bottom. That's why he speaks so loud. We're just doing that with John. I was doing that. But that, think a little transistor thing, illustration for good or bad. God's marvelous person. And God's marvelous person. And I was, John gave me the thing on the computer, new chips. In the chips and in the computers. And the little chip, 0.4 inches square, little silicon. And 0.03937 thick, and with layers in between it, and all of the circuits, and the thing, and they got a bigger thing now, a bigger chip, whatever company that was, big picture of it, of the circuit. What is it? Well, in this little chip, in my point, God, are you something else? So here's the universe with trillions of galaxies, not stars, galaxies of some unknown number. And it's only a little drop like that. God did it. All of those universe, just like that. God's out there and just did that. Wow, okay. That's wow. And then we go down that big. That's big. And we get down to a little ant. The ant's pretty small. But God, you made it so all of these wonderful, wonderful laws and realities that we can discover to know your awesomeness. So here's this little chip. Remember the computer, the big things like this, and then they get down like this, and then they're sitting on your hand, etc. So here's the chip. Now here's the chip now, little chip, and the new one. 57 billion with a B, 57 billion transistors are in that little square. 57 billion are in that little square. Can you imagine that? And all of those, here's these big circuits. Remember the radios you had? Radios, remember you turn them on, and if you're looking back, do you see the tubes lit? Didn't you go to see if the tubes were lit? You did it, right? Was it electronics? We did it. Okay. We did it. Now what do we do? We got a little board of these little chips. And millions, circuits. Thousands and thousands and beyond imagination information. In a second. In a millisecond. Wow. Sliding through, isn't that something? I think that's something. We discovered that, and they're going to play with it some more. They're making layers. They have, the chip has layers in it, and then you have the top and the bottom with the conductors out here to connect. You got all of those things. Wow. I have no idea. I used to be a little bit like that in electronics and stuff. A few years ago, to say the least. And in the process, I have no idea. I know they sent us to school back then, Hughes did. They sent me and a whole bunch of us to school at the University of Southern California to learn computers, because they were coming in back way back then in the 50s. And they sent us to school for computer design. That's what they did, And I remember Dr. Jaggers up there with us. One plus zero, binary. I'm just chatting with you. Binary, decimal system, 10, right? That's our system. 10 hands. That's our system for mathematics. 10. 10, that's where'd you get it? From 10 fingers. 10 fingers. Now, when you come to the computer, binary, it's 2, 1, 0. Instead of 10, we go down to 1, 0. And it's all done about what? 01010101. That's how your computer is. It makes words, it makes numbers, it does everything. Just numbers. 01110000 is the word make-believe W. Well, anyway, that has nothing to do with anything except what I want you to see. I think it's so marvelous. God is so awesome. And we miss out in enjoying such a magnificent God. That the God who did that, made it so you could even do this, is your Savior. And you're supposed to enjoy the God who made all of that. Well, I don't know how to tell you. It helps. I need help. I need help. I'm trying. I get so watching. I listen and I says, "How can we be so far off, and we never fix anything?" Wow.